The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Bengals beat writers, fantasy football failure Fletcher Page and Paul Dana Jr. take you inside Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, I'm always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. Welcome into the Deuce. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast 2. And as always, by our good friends, makers of delicious Christmas cookie at 50 West Brewing Company. I'm Paul Dana Jr. here with my man Fletcher Page. We are your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati.com. And we are here because it is the Deuce and we owe it to you to pull you through.
It's my favorite part of the week.
This is it. We're here to get weird and try to keep you entertained. The football's bad, but we try to keep it good. That's what it's all about here. We're here for you. And to recap whatever the Bengals news is of the week and then maybe make some stuff up along the way.
I like that last part.
You like that? That's what we've got. There was some people liked some of our talk about your dogs last week, or I guess on Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, the Wire, you know, it's got a strong, passionate fan base.
So it does.
Anytime you can drop that in there.
And we talked to St. Nick. Happy St. Nick's Day to you. Did you get anything in your stocking?
Is that today? Because I didn't get anything in my stocking.
Then you are really losing. St. Nick does not give a damn about you. He does not care. My stocking was full. Skittles.
Nice.
Skittles and some matching family pajamas. The entire family, daughter, dog, myself, my wife, we all have the same matching pajamas, and that's going to really be great at some point for me to not want to put on.
Nice. You can make a nice family Christmas card out of that matching.
We've already
set.
Made a nice family Christmas card, and there was some matching involved in that, but not like full head-to-toe Christmas jams.
I was thinking that Houday, the mascot, could be fun to incorporate into a Christmas card because, you know, he's been so distraught lately.
Man, he's really been wearing his emotions on his sleeve, hasn't he?
He's the highlight of my Sundays.
He really takes every single score to heart. He's had a lot of banging his head against the field goal post. He's, you know, you see him just laying there on the ground, and he looks inconsolable right now.
Yeah, he's distraught over Randy Bullock misses. Those drive him. Yeah.
Those hurt him a lot. And we had, of course, him with his head off, just eating.
I wish he would have been smoking a cigarette. You
know, he needed to be drinking a beer or smoking a beer. Cigarette in that tweet from Jeremy Rao, which was just fantastic. Houday, sad Houday in the background of any Christmas card right now is worth 10 points for sure. Let's quick hit on a couple. We got Optimistic Bobby's here this week, trying to stay optimistic as much as he can. So we've got that coming up. Andrew Billings on the hot seat. Andrew Billings was great with Doc talking about man, all kinds of stuff. They were all over the map. He's from Waco, Texas, and I will put this in here because it did not come up. As Doc thinks of Waco by things that happened back in the 90s with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, Waco is known for Chip and Joanna Gaines now. It's That's Chip correct. And Joanna's world, baby.
That's correct.
And Billings knew that. He was like kind of waiting for the fixer-upper talk to start. It
never came.
Never came because Doc's too busy talking about the Branch Davidians.
Well, I just assumed that every house on every block had been remodeled by Chip and Joanna by this point.
At this point, how many houses are there in Waco?
I mean, they're in syndication now, right? So it's like,
yeah. Well, they wrapped their last season, I assume, because they're literally out of houses.
Yeah, they've got to move to a different town.
They need. How has Andrew Billings not been on that show yet? That's what I want to know. Yeah. All right, so we've got that coming up later on in the pod. We will give you our predictions as always. We're gonna play a little either or to try to have some fun because honestly, we're kind of out of crap to talk about. Mm-hmm. We can only address the head coaching situation so much, which takes us to the, I guess, a bit of news this week. But one thing that has popped up, and you know, I can already feel a rant you've already heard coming on. Josina Anderson, the Marv Whisperer, was on NFL Live this week and discussing her thoughts on his situation and essentially saying that he plans on taking a couple of weeks after the season to think about things, and then she thinks he will walk away. I'll let you respond to that, and I have a thought.
We got a couple weeks right now. We got, you know, in December, not a lot else going on. Right, exactly.
How many weeks do you need to think about what's going on?
I think that it should not be left up to him to make a decision about what he's going to do as it relates to leading this franchise into the future. So that's the first thing that I don't think should be accurate. I'm not saying it's not accurate. I'm saying it should not be accurate. And then B, it doesn't need to take weeks. It's got to happen swiftly because, as we've seen, teams are already moving, making changes with their head coaches, and these things need to happen now, not after weeks of deliberation.
Absolutely. It is an asinine thought that there would be 2 weeks of Marv contemplation that everyone would have to live through. I mean, that alone is a fireable offense. I will say that much. Second of all, man, if that happens, how lit these podcasts would be during that 2 week period, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to wait weeks while there's deliberation. I mean, and then to come through that and potentially have Marvin decide that he's going to come back, that would be an all time podcast.
So I guess hold on to your butts. I do not see that being a scenario that plays out at all. And so, which takes me to my rant that I've done before and I will do again. Excuse me if I, it's kind of like my Stephen A moment. Excuse me if I do not take time to listen to the deliberations or the consultations of those ESPN reporters. Sorry, it's not a great impression, but it's kind of where I'm. Excuse me if I don't listen to the words that ESPN national reporters have to say about what Marv is definitely or is probably doing at this time of year. Do we not remember what happened last year? Marv out. Adam Schefter. Schefter, and let's just say, as far as impeccable reputations go, Schefter is at the top of the line. Okay? And he said, Marv out. With 3 weeks to go. Guess what? Marv not out. Marv's still here. So, excuse me if I don't, like, take Josina blathering something on NFL Live about her thoughts of what she thinks Marv is going to do and how he's going to take a couple of weeks to heart as fact. Sorry. Excuse me if we don't do that. That is not a thing that I'm going to stand by right now and give a damn about.
The Marv Whisperer sounds a lot like somebody who is Marvin.
I mean, Hugh's kind of the Marv Whisperer. Maybe that's kind of part of his special assistant to the head coach. You have to whisper to him sometimes.
Well, you sound like a man or a person who has lived through Marv Watch, and you see, this is my first time, and so now I'm getting to see how it evolves as December moves on.
Yeah.
We went through all right, there needs to be something happen. Now we're into the speculation point, and that one was wild, man. That just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm hardly even going to go into it. Look, and I've said it before, and I guess we got to re-up on this. My gut is still that this is it. I think this is it. I think the stadium and what's been happening with nobody being there is the difference this year. Whereas last year there was the idea that people would leave. This year everyone has gone. It is gone. They are gone. Fan base gone. That's why I believe it is over. That, and I, again, like I tweeted this week, but I would have lost my daughter's college fund betting that he was gone last year. But I think it, to me, just everything you kind of get a sense of, this feels the way the team's playing, the way things are going about themselves, the way everything is kind of happening around the building. This feels like this one's really it. That said, and that also probably not being Marv's choice. So the 2 weeks of waiting and sitting feels a little ridiculous. Here's a conversation that has popped up that I find interesting. And that is, could the Bengals be the new Rams? And I know everyone just started dying laughing, right? Like, people are falling off the treadmill. They have broken the elliptical. They're on the ground in hysterics, laughing and crying together, thinking of how absurd that thought is. The Rams have become the ultimate forward thinkers of the league, and the Bengals are continue to be this, like, you know, laughing stock over in public or in national circles, I should say. And people locally, obviously, are enjoying pointing and laughing right now at them. Do you buy that?
I'm curious where you're going here. You're surprising me.
Jeff Fisher and Marvin Lewis have a whole lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams had no fan base. The Rams were nothing. They were absolutely just a pile of nothingness and mediocrity forever with talented rosters.
They moved to a different town.
They did move to a different town. But, I mean, that's what I mean. They had no fan base in L.A. Everyone was like, who's going to go watch L.A.?
Right.
And they play in empty stadiums. They finally decided to move on from Jeff Fisher after no one understood why he was there so long. And they made a hire, and that person was able to bring in some new life, inject some new life, and get them going, and whoosh, all of a sudden this talent takes off and they're finding ways to make it all work, and the fans have come flocking back, and now they have this cool factor to them. They weren't cool when they were on Hard Knocks. They weren't cool.
No.
And so these types of things can happen. You know, they had drafted Greg Robinson, a tackle who turned into a huge bust, and, you know, cleared the deck of him and moved on and found other ways to make it work. You know, all of this should sound familiar to where you're at right now. And I guess in that respect, anybody can be the new Rams. But I think when you look at a lot of the same, there are similarities in some of the setup of those two franchises and how quickly that came. It was only 2 years ago that happened.
It's a speedboat. It's not like turning around a battleship. This thing cut on a dime.
In the league, it happens fast, and especially when you do have talent. You know, they drafted Jared Goff, number one overall, and that helps.
Todd Gurley.
They had Todd Gurley. They had a great player from Georgia.
I just had to get that in there.
Bengals have a great player from Georgia. A couple of them. It's not like, you know, now would the Bengals go out and spend and attack the way the Rams have? No.
Well, the Rams built it up through the draft, and then once they felt like they were right there, I mean, they went wild in free agency.
Yeah. This year they have. They went into build mode because they had the cheap Goff salary and they could build around them for now. I'm just saying people get obsessed with a team that is mired in mediocrity and they point and laugh at them and how quickly it can turn with just the right person leading the way. To me, there's just so many pieces that are similar to Rams pre-McVay and Bengals currently. Now, that's all goes back to making a hire. And I'm not saying that there even is another Sean McVay out there or that's the direction. I'm just pointing out the right person showing up can make a thing go whoosh pretty quick in a similar setup, I think, as what you saw out there. Do you buy any of that, or am I just lost my mind because I've been through one too many Marv watches.
No, I think any team in this league can do that, and the lesson there is to be aggressive. It's not to be reckless, but if you have calculated aggression, and the Rams were ahead of the curve in terms of this genius offense, young offensive minds coming through, and that's already sort of been played out by now. And the Rams got in early on that. I don't know if that's necessarily the way, but you can still be aggressive in another way with your hire.
Yep. Would you hire a college coach?
Well, I don't want to be a general, Paul. Who would that college coach be?
I don't know. Hot names.
Just like any, Kingsbury or Lincoln Riley.
He's OC at USC now. So.
Lincoln Riley, no.
Lincoln Riley you wouldn't do? Too young?
I don't know if he's – I don't know how it would translate with him.
Nick Saban. Not that he's leaving Alabama, but I mean, would that be Herb?
No.
No, Urban Meyer and his migraines.
That guy would drive himself nuts. I mean, he can't handle one loss at Ohio State. I mean, how's he going to handle a league that is predicated on you supposed to lose 8 games each year? You know?
Dabo?
I don't know, man. This is tough.
Brian Kelly?
No.
Brian Kelly has some Cincinnati ties. Yeah.
I just want winning ties.
He's won a lot. He turned around the pile of ashes that was Notre Dame when he showed up. That was like a job where everyone said no one's ever going to win Notre Dame again.
Yeah.
And they've been in the playoff now twice since he's been there. And he took Cincinnati, UC. I mean, you talk about started at the bottom. Now they're here. I mean, that was nah. Anyway, I just if you would ever entertain college coach. I just
would entertain it, yeah, but I need to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I don't know. There's just so many failed college coaches.
There's just so many failed coaches, period.
Failed coaches, period. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I typically like the idea of just picking a quality coordinator and letting them go, you know?
Like Kyle Shanahan.
Like Kyle Shanahan. Absolutely. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Frank Reich, all these guys, you know, that we've seen, and just letting them find your guy that you believe in and let him go. Even with Jay Gruden, even though he hasn't had incredible success in Washington, he's been pretty, to survive that long under Dan Snyder means you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Zimmer, I mean, quality coordinators, particularly those that have not had head coaching jobs before, and I want to retread, and let them go and have their ship for the first time.
Yeah, do their thing, be creative.
I think that's where you see your highest percentage of hit rate. If you really look at hires, there are misses. There's misses everywhere. Your highest percentage of hit rate, I think, comes from that. In my opinion. My fair opinion. Don't hire a New England assistant.
Doesn't seem to work out.
That seems to be poor. And has been for a long, long time. That's why, like, places where the head coach is clearly the genius, Belichick, even now, if you start talking about you want to have McShay, you know, have all McShay's assistants, like that to do. Or Andy Reid has had success in his tree. Matt Nagy is another example we were just talking about before. Because Reid maybe has more of the CEO approach. I mean, where your those guys are more, they're allowed to kind of become their own thing and get a feel for being a head coach. Whereas there's some places where they just don't crank them out well.
I do think that's how Andy Reid's been able to kind of continue to move with the way the game changes on offense. I mean, the Chiefs are right there with any, you know.
And he understands quarterback play as well as anybody. Yeah. All right. That's that. So let's go in now. I'm going to bring in a little bit of optimistic Bobby.
We need it.
We're going to come back. Yeah, we need it, although he's got some interesting – you'll see. Optimus Bobby's coming in. We're going to come back and play either or, give you our predictions for Sunday. They're playing the Chargers, which we haven't even mentioned yet. And then we'll have Andrew Billings on the hot seat. So we'll be right back after Optimistic Bobby.
All right, that time again to go to my good friend and yours, owner of 50 West, the brewing company, better known as Optimistic Bobby, Bobby Flattery. What's up?
Hootay!
Look at you. Still on board. You're just like, look, I'm not relenting. I'm still here.
I'm still here, Paul. You know, it's not, hasn't been my favorite season overall. And you know my favorite, we're not mathematically eliminated yet, I don't think. Or are we? We're not
You're,
yet.
No. That's correct. You are not mathematically eliminated yet. Marvin was sure to point that out in the press conference this week.
So we're not completely out, but we would have to win the next four, and some crazy things would have to happen. So
yeah,
not it's not my most optimistic moment, but you know I'm gonna hang in there and not start researching draft picks until we probably the eighth loss will do it for me. If we get to eight losses and or get mathematics. Be eliminated, then I start doing the research on the draft picks. I may have peaked, if I'm being completely honest. I may have done some slight peeking into like, oh, okay, well that might be available.
You were poking around a little bit on some of the defensive linemen. Maybe you might have opened a mock draft. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, okay. Here's what I'll tell you. I think it was fed to me through some sort of digital ad. But I may have seen – the good news is I think there's really, like, a lot of good defensive linemen apparently available in this next draft. And that's all I know right now. I haven't kind of identified, like, where they might be yet or anything like that. I just know that I think there's not – from what I saw, there's, like nine good defensive linemen available right at the beginning.
There will be many. You know it's not looking great when Optimistic Bobby already knows the position of strength in the next draft.
I see. The real question is, are you going to go on injured reserve with like carpal tunnel syndrome or something? I think that would be just awesome.
Yeah, no, I think I should, you know, spend a couple of weeks trying to play through it and then re-injure and then just realize, look, you're right. I got carpal tunnel. I've got a ligament. I busted a ligament in my pinky, and I can no longer hit the shift key, and so I've got to shut it down because it's just not worth continuing to go this year.
Just great.
It's kind of the
other thing I want the Bengals to start playing up is I'm really hoping they start doing like maybe there could be a campaign like NFL will be here next year, like you know how MLS is just
yeah.
like nothing. That's all I really want to talk about today. It's like. Oh, hey, by the way, we have NFL. Like, I'm pretty sure that does pretty well.
Yes, I agree. I'm totally on board. I think that is totally what they should do. Dish seize the day and all that stuff. You should just compete directly against FC Cincinnati
yes.
and just
yes.
say, NFL is coming.
NFL is still here in 2019.
It will be here. Just go directly
yes.
against
Get
FC.
Get ready.
Like
just advertise NFL.
Yeah,
MLS is just going to be this just like incredibly magical thing like no one's ever seen before.
I mean, look,
sorry,
the NFL brand in Cincinnati feels slightly stronger than the Bengals one right now. So I think you're on.
Yeah, just promote NFL. NFL. I'm sorry. To all of my FC friends out there, I apologize. I sometimes feel a little bit bitter. I just feel like we get sold this like MLS, like it's this magical thing that is going to be, you know, unlike anything anyone's seen before. Meanwhile, we have literally the best sports brand, the most popular sports brand available, and the city wants likes to pretend like they want nothing to do with it.
Look. There are a lot of FC Cincinnati fans that also are big fans of the BBP. So it's just like not talking politics. I try not to go into that area. You know, we can all root together. Absolutely, absolutely.
It was the playoff game that made me mad. That's where I started getting into that. Was playoff game. But you're right. We should. This is the political road we do not want to go down right now. Let's just support
no.
Cincinnati as a whole. And
it's all about the
all,
city.
It's all about the city.
Speaking of all about the city,
I
think of you this time of year. Like, do you guys have events going on down at the Pro Works right now? Because it seems like that place is perfect for like Christmas gatherings and like coworkers
yeah,
and messy and
I
stuff.
Mean,
yeah.
Well, we have a couple. We probably only have a few dates left. So if you're looking to have a Christmas party, you need to call us literally like in the next like 5 days because it obviously gets booked up fast. We do have our New Year's just went on sale, so we have a New Year's. If you're looking for a good New Year's dinner, our brew pub does an easiest dinner every year. Tickets went on sale on Monday, so you can check that out. Other things going on, we've got our so we're going to train some people to run marathons this year. If you have any inclination that you want to like do something cool in 2019, we have these 50 West running groups that we're going to be doing. So, like, after this, we run on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. The Wednesdays and Saturdays runs always go out on the bike trail that connects into our space. But Tuesdays, we're going to be at, like, a different location around the city for everyone, and we buy your first beer when you get finished on everyone. It's included in the cost. And you'll also get free admission into Cincinnati Beer Fest for signing up. So it's, like, as far as value goes, honestly, if you're, like, if you like happy hour and you're contemplating going to Cincinnati Beer Fest, you pretty much would have a better deal, like, by just saying that you might run a marathon by signing up for our thing. I think you would actually save money. So we got. Go ahead.
But will you be training? That's what I want to know. Will you be training for a marathon? Of course you will be. Does that mean you will be? You're saying you're guaranteeing you will be running a marathon this year?
Okay. So you probably don't know this, but I at one point in my life was a marathon runner. I'm still a runner. I haven't decided whether I will be running the full marathon, and the only thing that would hold me back is that we have all these cool activities happening around the marathon, and so I want to make sure that those are executed well. But there is a chance, I will tell you, for those running groups, like, if you're running on those Tuesday nights, you can expect to be running with Optimistic Bobby and enjoying the beer with when we're finished. At whatever location we are, we're going.
Run off your frustration about the Bengals season and just let it all, let the blood, sweat, and tears pour out of you.
You know what? You're an OU guy. I was an OU guy. When I was a senior in college, I was either going to flunk out or graduate in the last quarter. It was this, like, amazing scenario that I had created for myself. And so I set this goal for myself where I literally couldn't run a mile. And I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to graduate from college, move to Chicago, and run a marathon. And, like, that was what ultimately, like, got me going with my life. And I could literally not, I couldn't walk a mile when I started, but I just, like, put my mind to it. And I'm hoping that we can have that same impact on somebody else out there with these programs. So if you're sitting there thinking, I'm not a runner, but I like craft beer, and I'd love to hang out with Optimistic Bobby, this is your opportunity to really change your life.
I think that speech makes me think only one thing, and that is, your next coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, Bobby Slatter. You can do it.
Hey, you can make anything happen. I'll tell you what my dream job is, if we really want to be honest. The dream is that I can make everything with 50 West go great, the business operates itself, and I can apply to be, like, the hype guy for the Bengals. My hype guy, I mean, just it's what you used to do for the Reds, and you're probably like, you never want that job. You're going to get terrible emails, but, like, for me, that would be, like, the dream, is that the Bengals hire me.
The hype guy. All right.
All responsibilities of 50 West operates itself, and on Sundays, I just get to go. My son and I right now, on the way down, we literally listen to a combination of Welcome to the Jungle and Bang on My Drum all day, like, repeat on full blast going to the stadium. And trust me, if I were the guy, there'd be a lot more songs involved. But I feel like, having watched this team for the last 30-plus years of my life, I think I know what the people want, and I know the songs to play at the right times. Yeah. So
you're taking
I'm
going to
let
all
you
right.
in a little – I've never told anybody that before, but I'm going to let you in on that little secret, and everybody else.
Good to know. All right. That's great. Well, appreciate it, Bobby. Always good to check in with you. We'll look for you running marathons and hyping the Bengals at a stadium near you very soon. Looking forward to it.
And everybody out there, just keep your head up. It's okay. Things are going to be okay. The Bengals,
okay.
We're going to make it.
That's it. Optimistic Bobby giving us our optimistic thoughts. I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right, hooday.
Okay, let's play a little game of either or, okay?
All right.
We've each come up with one, and would you like to start or you want me to start?
You start.
I'll start, okay. Either or. Either two Christmases or three birthdays. Which would you rather have, two Christmases or three birthdays?
I think I want to go two Christmases because I like the aspect of getting and giving.
I'll look at you. You're a giver.
No, I enjoy. So me and my high school buddies, we all get together around Christmas every year. It's about the only time I see these guys. I've known them since third grade. And so, like, my man Dustin, he loves Tom Selleck. So I always try to buy him some, like, Magnum PI swag.
Mm-hmm.
Or things like that. I love buying gifts like that. So I enjoy getting, but I feel like, you know, the Christmas, I got that Christmas spirit, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Christmas, the other thing about Christmas is it's a season.
Oh, yeah, it's a mentality.
It's a mentality. Now, around my house, birthdays are big. Like, we celebrate birth months to try to give the Christmas season feel to each person.
I see.
But nowhere near with the amount of pomp and circumstance you see with our beloved Christmas season. So that would essentially give you 2 months. Now you'd be to a sixth of the year, you'd basically be celebrating giving and family and ham.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of the ham.
See, I hate ham.
See, we went ham instead of turkey on Thanksgiving.
God, that's a mess. That's unnecessary. All right, you fire one of me here.
All right, okay. So you get you're going to have good health, and your family's going to have good health for the duration that you're able to handle this. Every time that you hear music. So if you get in the car, if you're going to the airport, everybody else might be hearing something else, but you have to hear this, either or. Nickelback's entire catalog or Kesha's entire catalog.
Oh, man.
And for the duration of that, you will have good health and your family will. While
as long as I can handle it.
As long as you, this is your life.
This is my life. Yes. Nickelback or Kesha?
Yes. Their entire catalogs, they'll just scroll through. They play through and then start over.
So I'm choosing to do this or not do this. Or am I choosing between those two?
You have to choose between those two for the good health.
Okay.
If you back out of it, then it just goes back to regular everyday potential.
Okay. Well, I would choose to listen to Kesha. Kesha, at least there's some harmony, or like there's some. Nickelback is just pure hardcore trash, right? It's just jackhammers. At least there's some Kesha in there where you and she's a good person. She was fighting through some stuff. You know?
Really? I didn't know about that. Yeah. The only downside of that is I think her catalog is going to be much smaller than Nickelback's. I don't know if it matters. But you're going to be hearing
kind of sound the same. Yeah. And I think I would handle that. I would do it the rest of my life. Does that mean I don't get to hear any other music ever?
No other music. During the Christmas season, you'll be hearing Nickelback or Kesha. No more Burl Ives for you.
Oh, no. What about Johnny Mathis?
Out. You when the Bengals score a touchdown in Paul Brown Stadium, you will hear Kesha.
I will hear Kesha. But my family will be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What if I just invest in some really big-time health insurance policies? And they really make sure they're taken care of. Like, we're going to doctors every day, making sure everybody's okay. No, I will carry the Kesha cross.
All right.
Boy, that's no kind of life at all.
I don't think so.
All right, let's get to our predictions here real quick. I guess, do we need to go into details very much?
Not really.
At this point, how bad do you think it would be? Cover or no cover? 14 plus is the number.
I'm going no. It's really hard to not cover an NFL game that's a 14-point spread, but I'm going 34-14. I think that's changed since we made the video.
You're just altering on me now.
That's the over-under is 48, so I just divided. I just made
34-14. Just go with Vegas.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah, I have 37-16 has been my number. So I don't see this being close. I see it being a terrible matchup. There's nothing about this you can like. The Fighting Driscolls going into L.A., a team that's just smoking hot. The trap game thing is the only thing that's out there. They play on Thursday against Kansas City. They're just coming off that big win against Pittsburgh. There's no reason for them to have any fear this week, considering how beat up the Bengals are. But I don't see any way that they can – even coming out there and not giving it all, they're all or playing sloppy, they still can run the ball. And when you can run the ball against anybody, like, you pretty much just take their will away. And I see that being what happens on Sunday.
They have three running backs that are averaging 5 yards or more per carry.
Which means it ain't the back, it's the line.
It's the line. And then to go against this Bengals defense.
And the quarterback, yeah. And it's just a bad, bad, bad matchup. Like anything, when you're 14-point dogs, man, 2008 against Dallas was the only line in the Marv era worse than this. That was a 16.5, where they actually covered that, believe it or not. The Fighting Fitzies back in the day. But, man, the shrine to the bad tilts in the 90s that that list of the largest spreads in Bengals history is just, oh, it makes your heart go pitter-patter. So many bad, bad games right there.
So, out of the, you looked at the top 10.
I looked at all, I searched all the largest spreads in Bengals history, and it's just all 90s games. And, like, a 2008er, there was one game in 1979, and this one. That's pretty much it.
So eight
in
out
case
of 10.
You weren't wondering if we have returned to the lost decade, well.
It's the lost month.
It's the lost month. It's a long December. Sorry, I just hate that I've been singing Counting Crows all week. That's no kind of life.
Yeah.
What if you would you rather listen to Nickelback, Kesha, or me singing County Crows? I just follow you around everywhere and sing Counting Crows to you.
But you pick a song that's kind of appropriate for the situation.
Always, yeah. I'm always theming it.
I'll take that.
Okay, that's a bad decision. All right. So anyway, we'll have the walkout for you from L.A. Complete trip report of how beautiful the weather is. Then Fletcher will be hitting that red eye, living that bad life. Coming back, because someone's got to. Not only do you have to take the red eye, but you have to take the red eye so you can come back for a Marvin press conference. That's nice.
Yeah. I think it's the complete opposite of the Christmas season.
Yeah. This is just like your St. Nick's Day. Nothing in your stocking. Woke up and it just got worse.
Yep.
No celebrating for you. None at all. Meanwhile, I'll be kicking up and enjoying one last L.A. breakfast before I hit the flight back.
Hey, the perks of you've got the seniority over me. I respect that.
It's all I've got right now is a couple
these
hours
trips.
In LA is a couple hours in LA. This is the let's be honest, Cleveland and Pittsburgh, not exactly desirable trips left on the slate. So
and we'll be in the car.
We will be in the car. Well, although I do enjoy those, because I enjoy road trips with our boys in the photog department, Kareem and Sam, which means we get road trip BBPs, which are some of my faves.
Nice.
Always some of my faves when we get the full car ride together. So anyway, all that is coming. Keep it. Make sure you check it out, sysany.com. Again, we are trying to write the things that matter to you right now, and we understand that you don't care about much else except for a couple core topics. So we're trying to keep it for you. We know the frustration. I get a tweet back after pretty much every story I write in some capacity that says, none of it matters. Fire the coach. I'm still trying to do my job here. I'm trying to find things that you want to hear. If you've got something that you want, let me know. We're doing our best to try to bring it to you. Anyway, Andrew Billings is on the hot seat. Good stuff from him, even though it didn't talk about Chip and Joanna Gaines. Anyway, here's Andrew Billings on the hot seat, and we'll talk to you later.
We are back on Beyond the Stripes for the segment that we like to call the hot seat with Andrew Billings. So let's begin. Andrew Mitchell Billings.
Yeah, that's me.
Anyone ever call you Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who calls you Andy?
Doc in college, trainer.
Okay, all right. That's unusual, though.
Yeah.
How about Drew?
My family, yeah.
They call you Drew?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good question then. Before we get into the important stuff, like if you still have good wiggle, you walked the graduation line last August, did you not? 12 hours short when you left Baylor after your junior year.
Mm-hmm.
You came back and finished it up, major in communications, minor in business. Yeah. What was the motivation for doing that?
To get my degree. That's why I came to college. So, I mean, I played football and got the scholarship and I want to get my degree, even if I left early or not.
You always said that, right? Even when you signed on a dotted line to go to Baylor, that was your primary intention.
Yep, to get the degree.
And you got it done. Where's that sheepskin now? You got it hanging somewhere? You got it?
I don't even know. I don't know. I walked the stage, went to bed, woke up, got back to work, so.
That's right, it was during training camp.
Yeah.
So you went up, got your degree, hopefully gave it to your mom or dad or somebody.
My dad, yeah.
So maybe they have it. What might you do with that degree when you're done here?
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot. I always wanted to go work somewhere, maybe for a shipping company or something.
Yeah.
Own a business or something. So maybe you can go back to college. I don't know yet.
And get a graduate degree.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, it sounded as if Baylor was genuinely interested in seeing you graduate. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They helped me all the way.
Okay, good.
All
now, here's a question for you. Who has the bigger responsibility for seeing that a big-time college athlete gets a degree? Is it the school that brings you in with the intention of promoting itself and making a bunch of money? Or is it the athlete himself who has the bigger responsibility to get that degree?
Definitely the athlete. There's only one they can get it. The school can do whatever they want to do. You know, they can reinstate you in the program as many times as you fell out, but if you don't want to get it, you won't get it. So,
do you think that Baylor had an obligation to you to help you as much as they did?
No, definitely not. That's what I'm so thankful for. I mean, I left early, so they could have just been like, well, okay, well, thank you for your 3 years.
But they kept after you after you left.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty unusual. Do you think the average Joe understands how difficult it is to play a big-time sport, especially a physical sport like football, while also keeping up with your classwork?
Yeah, I doubt that's known by many. It's definitely hard. It's harder than the NFL. I mean, you gotta wake up at 8 o'clock, go to classes, go to practice, go back to study hall, go back to sleep and do it every
right.
day. It's tough, and you know, thankfully our seasons were going pretty well, because if it's not going well, you can lose sight of class and stuff like that.
I mean, in essence, you have two jobs in college.
Yeah.
Here, you only got one job. Did you take many easy classes to ease your load?
Actually, I knocked the hard ones out first.
Yeah.
Because I felt like as a freshman, I wasn't going to start. So I was like, I got to get this done now before it gets real
That's
serious.
Good.
And then my last semester there was elective. So.
What were you taking your last semester?
I took a chapel.
Chapel?
Yeah.
What do you learn in chapel? Not much. What else did you take?
I can't even remember. Maybe it was a breeze. It just went by like that. I might have took art appreciation.
Art appreciation.
So like nothing but electives left.
That's big. What kind of art did you learn to appreciate? You don't even remember. See, this
remember.
Made a big impression on our guest here his last semester at the Baylor. When I was last semester, my senior year, I had to take a science class, and I'm terrible at science and math. I took the history of chemistry.
Wow.
I don't remember a damn thing about the history of chemistry. How big is the shoulder chip still, given the draft thing? I remember you went out to dinner with Green. Mean Joe Green, mm-hmm. right before the draft, and a Pittsburgh writer said this. He said, if Billings is available when the Steelers pick at number 25, he might be too hard to pass up. Now, you didn't go until the fourth round. Does that shoulder chip, all those people bypassing you still, is it still there?
Here and there, there is, because I want to be the best. People don't have to recognize me as the best, but I want to be the best.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of effect on, you know, whether I was going to leave college or not, you know, where I was going to go in the draft. But, you know, it's always going to be a little chip.
Yeah.
Not going where you thought you would go. But nobody owed me anything.
So you're saying that if you had been projected to go in the fourth round, you might have stuck around for a year. Gotcha. What? Yeah. You could have taken all those easy classes as a senior, and you wouldn't have had to go back. Some writer around here, and I really don't remember who it was, and I should, wrote not long ago, quote, Billings still has good wiggle for a big man. What does that mean, wiggle?
probably what sounds like I can wiggle my way through.
Wiggle. I mean, I read all this stuff by these so-called experts talking about guys who are going to be drafted like Kuiper and McShay and all those guys. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. It still has good.
Still,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's good, I guess, right?
I guess.
Does
yeah.
that does that mean that at a very young age that, that most men lose their?
That's what I'm thinking.
Wiggle?
Yeah. Do I have a little bit left now?
You still got a little bit. What are you like? 24, 5?
23.
23. And you still have, man, I wonder when I lost my wiggle. are you worried about that? What happens when you lose yours? Because I would worry about
it. I am worried. I got to find out what it is first, though.
Yeah, find out what it is. You're from Waco, Texas. Waco, as far as I know, is best known for two things, which is Baylor and David Koresh.
Yeah,
you remember David Koresh?
I do not remember that.
The head of the Branch Davidians, the cult guys. Remember that?
I don't.
Well, you were kind of really little when that happened. But there was a cult, and they holed up in this gigantic house out in the middle of nowhere in Waco, near Waco. And the FBI came in, and you don't remember that. You should read up David Koresh.
I don't know about it. I just don't remember when it happened.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to. You went from Waco. You go to college in Waco. Do you still live in Waco?
I guess, yeah.
What do you mean, you guess? Do you have a house there?
I have a house there, but, I mean, I live here.
you live both places. What's so great about Waco? When I way back in the day, I worked in Dallas. And Waco was about 2 hours south of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't anything between Dallas and Waco.
Right.
What's so good about it?
It's where I was born and raised. And, it's the thing between Dallas and Austin.
The thing between Dallas and Austin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 6'1", 340, is that about right?
Yeah.
Hard to find clothes? Stylish clothes?
No, DXL takes care of me.
What's that?
I go to DXL.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's no problem with that. Is it all custom? Not even custom made?
No, not even custom.
Right off the rack. Okay. What's hardest to find? Is anything really harder than anything else to find that fits and looks nice?
Suits.
That'd
be the only thing that I actually had to have custom made would be suits.
How many suits do you have?
Five.
Five?
Yeah.
That's not very many.
No.
How many do you think Drake or Patrick has?
A lot more than me.
A lot more than you. That's right. Can you dunk?
No.
You can't dunk?
No, I don't want to anymore.
Have you ever tried?
I've tried, and didn't go too
And unsuccessfully?
Depends on who you ask. If you ask me, it was successful. I touched the rim, the ball went in, so.
Do you remember Brittany Griner?
Yeah.
Did you ever play any basketball with Brittany Griner? Who was the best player in women's college basketball at the time?
I never played with her, but I definitely watched her.
Yeah. She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's really good.
Think she could take you?
She's way taller than me. She can have it.
Can you dance?
Yeah.
Is a wiggle helping that?
Yeah, I guess that's where it's at.
Yeah, you guess so.
Yeah.
Do you ever think you'd like to be Giovanni Bernard, like a little guy, a normal-sized guy?
No.
No.
I can't. All right.
What do you love besides football?
Besides football?
Yeah.
You know, as far as sports go, powerlifting.
Obviously.
For sure. Cars.
Cars. How many cars you got?
Just two.
One is a big truck, probably.
It's just 1500.
A 1500?
Yeah.
Is that big? I don't know anything about trucks.
No, it's big enough for me. But it's 2500, 3500, even 650.
All right. So, but it's not one of those things that on lifts that you need like an escalator to get.
Yeah, no.
All right, so it's just a medium-sized truck. Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Food. Yeah.
Okay, what kind of food?
Pancakes.
What?
Pancakes.
Just pancakes. Any particular kind? Got anything in them?
Buttermilk.
Buttermilk?
Yeah.
How many buttermilk pancakes you eat?
About three to four.
That's not very many.
Well, I mean, they're pretty big.
Three or four big pancakes. All right. Because Texas is known for barbecue.
Right.
You like barbecue?
Yeah, that's not my guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Brisket. Do you have anything you'd like to ask me?
Where'd you get the questions from?
Where'd I get these questions from?
Yeah.
Right here, man.
I
was up all night. I got bags right here. I was sleeping. I haven't. Do you know Jim Ozarski?
No.
Okay, good. We're done. Thank you, Andrew Williams.
Thank you.
We're off the hot seat. We will be back with more Beyond the Stripes momentarily.